Hello, it's Friday, June 9th, and you're listening to Wing Radio. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing Radio. It's Friday here. Thank God it's Friday. Another busy, busy week. Beautiful day here in Happy Valley, Pennsylvania. And we have on again Mr. Mark Farrell. We had Mark on 2 weeks ago, but there was so much information to cover that we agreed to do half of it 2 weeks ago and then cover the second half of it today. Now, Mark runs a website called honestmediatoday.com. You can go there and find it. He has a lot of good articles and other material, plus quite a few videos. His the one we're going to talk about today and we talked about 2 weeks ago was called The Persecution of Revisionists. Why do some people try to censor, terrorize, and suppress revisionists? And also subtitled The Holocaust Unveiled. And as we've said throughout this week, that the majority of people in the alternative media seem like they want to stay within these very strict boundaries, these guidelines, that they won't go outside of them to discuss certain subjects. Well, here on Wing TV, we're discussing everything, and that's why we're so pleased and so proud to have Mark Farrell on today. So we'd like to welcome Mr. Mark Farrell to Wing TV. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Mark.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, well, welcome back again, and I know that I know this isn't the most optimal time for you to do interviews, so we appreciate you taking a little bit of time out of your schedule. So before we start, let everybody know again what your website is and what they can find there.
www.honestmediatoday.com. And I've got a few different videos, and some of which can be watched online, articles dealing with different things. Quite a variety of stuff. Actually.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. And Mark, to start off today, on the Wing TV homepage, the lead article is called Why No Scholarly Holocaust Debate? And considering the preponderance of evidence pointing to the fact that this might be the greatest hoax of all time, it seems to be almost virtually off limits for even discussion, let alone research. Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess it would really have to do with the bias of the media for the most part in America. But in other countries, it's actually illegal to even question any aspect of it.
That's true.
You can go to jail in Canada, in Australia, in Germany, in Austria, in Ireland, probably. I know most of Europe, it's a crime. And this is a question that we really have to ask ourselves, you know, why is it a crime? What are they trying to hide that they need these laws in order to suppress people from looking at things? It's not a crime to question the millions of people that died during the Soviet regime. It's not a crime to question, you know, the millions of people that died in China. Why is it, therefore, a crime to question anything to do with the Jews? And this is something that people really have to consider. They have to really think about this, because it's something that's affecting the world in not a good and positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
We got an email from one of our listeners named Philip in Vienna, and he related this to us, Mark. He said he spoke to a 72-year-old Jewish doctor there in Vienna about the Der Spiegel magazine article and about the Holocaust, and he told this doctor that some people are saying that the 6 million figure regarding the Holocaust is propaganda. And he says that this 72-year-old doctor absolutely went berserk. And he said that David Irving deserves to be in jail there. And Philip wanted to know why this topic's so sensitive, this issue's so sensitive, you can't debate it, you can't even mildly discuss it. And he wants to know, how do we fight this censorship?
Well, I mean, really, the only way that we can fight it is by talking about it.
Yeah.
Bringing it out in the open. In Europe, obviously, that's not going to be so easy. So people there, I think, they really have to actually go on the streets and say, you know, this is BS. We're not going to stand for it. We're going to talk about it. We don't care what you say. And if they do that, you know, in great numbers, they're going to be able to, you know, get some of their rights back that have been taken from them, that have been stolen from them. You know, what happened a long time ago, it's a shame, obviously, even if it is exaggerated to a great deal by the Holocaust propagandists, but, you know, people should be allowed to talk, they should be allowed to discuss these things, and it shouldn't be a crime to discuss it.
Yeah, and that's the point I really brought out in this article, Why No Scholarly Holocaust Debate, is that, you know, it's understandable when you have the corporate-controlled Jewish mainstream media, but we have an alternative media, too. And it seems like even they won't touch this with a 10-foot pole. But the article that
I mean, you take organizations like Answer, Act Now to Stop War and End Racism, and you look at it, and you got George Soros, who's like the backer of it. I believe it's Soros.
Yeah, somehow.
I think his grandson or something like that is the acting head, or at least involved in the activities. So, I mean, you've got a big funder there, and he's basically pro-Israel, obviously, because of that, because they're influenced or whatever in these anti-war organizations, for the most part, you won't see any criticism of the Holocaust and propaganda and all that other related matter, because to question that is to question Israel, and to question Israel is to recognize the atrocities and so forth going on there, even to this day.
Yeah. Well, the article Lisa was referring to was a Der Spiegel interview that's in Germany with Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, where they actually openly discussed the Holocaust. And this was the first time, I guess, ever since World War II that a German publication was even allowed to discuss this subject. So what do you think? Is this at least a tiny step in the right direction?
It's obviously a tiny step in the right direction. I heard sometime, it was just a few months ago, that I believe it was Helmut Kohl. He was like the former president of Germany, or chancellor, or prime minister. I'm not really quite sure. But in any case, I heard that he even mentioned something to the effect that may be exaggerated, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he said something like he sympathized with Ahmadinejad and said that what he was saying was correct. So that's very, very groundbreaking.
But I think a lot of people in Germany recognize this fact, and they probably also realize that this is the reason why it's illegal to discuss such matters, because it's easily proven to be, you know, falsehoods, lies, and so forth for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Benjamin Friedman has written a lot about the Jews and about Germany. He said the only reason there was any feeling in Germany against the Jews, who were originally treated very well and given refuge there, in the early 1900s, was that they were responsible for World War I and for this worldwide boycott against Germany. And he said this, too. He said, the Jews of the world, the Zionists and their co-religionists everywhere, are determined that they are going to, again, use the U.S. to help them retain Palestine as their foothold for the world government. Do you agree with that, and do you have a comment?
Yeah, I agree with it somewhat. He was pretty brave for going on record saying that. He was a wealthy man of Jewish descent himself, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He said a lot of things that were pretty much dead on. It's a shame that there aren't more people like him. I think it would probably lessen the amount of anti-Semitism in the world, because it would show people that not all Jews think alike in such matters.
Well, and what he did really was give an entirely new perspective about the events leading up, especially to World War II, where, you know, Judea declares this boycott on German products and so forth. And, you know, there's even some people that said they want to wipe out Germany. So when you look at it from this perspective, you see things a little differently. But going back to your DVD, the Holocaust Unveiled, you mentioned a fairly well-known individual named Norman Finkelstein, and he wrote The Holocaust Industry. For those not familiar with this, describe what he's talking about.
Well, he's basically talking about how a lot of Jews use this issue as a means to an end. That is to say, a lot of them use the issue of the Holocaust as propaganda to basically make us ignore the atrocities occurring in Israel to the present day, the massive bombings. Like, if they suspect there is a Palestinian terrorist, and I don't know exactly what they consider to be a terrorist in Israel, because they often kill little kids, but say they suspect that there's a terrorist in a building, they'll just go ahead and take a helicopter and bomb the whole building. And, hey, if we get that guy, that's great. If we have to, you know, kill a few extra people in the process, that's cool. You know, they don't care.
more than the Holocaust when it comes to the Jewish people. And the history of the Jewish people is an unbroken chain of mass murders and bloodbaths starting before the time of Christ up through today and ongoing. They even have a law in their book of Zohar concerning the slaughter of foreigners who are considered the same as beasts. And the law commands Jews to butcher Christians and non-Jews. It's not that it just permits it. It commands it. Tell everybody a little bit about this ritual murder practice.
Well, that's something that's pretty controversial, obviously.
We don't care about that.
Together, a video called Ritual Murder Revisited. And it's something, actually, in the books of history that it's pretty well proven. I don't mean to say anything to the respect that, you know, all Jews go out and, you know, take, you know, little kids off the street and go to their synagogues and kill them, but In the books of history, there have been many cases that have been tried in court, and quite a few children have been murdered by Jewish extremists. It's kind of a rather dark and grisly topic.
It is.
Yeah,
and we saw your video. It is very, very troubling. But back to your video again, Mark, you bring up a researcher named David Cole, and he looked into this whole issue of Zyklon B at Auschwitz, and then he also looked at the flimsy wooden door and the glass window. Tell everybody a little bit about what David Cole discovered.
He discovered that, you know, things aren't quite what they seem, that, that the issue itself is merely propaganda. He went through the gas chambers, or so-called gas chambers, I should say, in Auschwitz, and he looked at them, and he showed, you know, where there were, like, manhole covers or whatever in the floor, like, glass windows or whatever that people could have easily broken out. You know, the chimney that wasn't connected to the building and so forth, that was built after the war, even. Because of that, he had death threats. I understand he was giving a lecture in California once, and some extremists from the Jewish Defense League went up on stage and started punching his face in. They threatened to murder him. Finally, I think when it got to the extent where they had threatened to murder his parents, he backed down, and I think he basically quit associating himself with revisionist and sort of temporarily, at least, recanted his thoughts and beliefs on that matter. Because, I mean, it's not something to take lightly when you're giving a lecture on a college stage and some thugs, you know, come up and start hitting you and threaten your parents. And it's rather disturbing. I think that the guys that were harassing the most, I think they've, at least one of them since has died. He was planning on bombing some Islamic mosque, if I'm not mistaken. And he was arrested and went to jail, and somebody killed him there. And, you know, so I think since then, I've heard rumors that David Cole is now beginning to open up again. I don't really know to how much, per se, but there's talk of him coming back out on the horizon. So.
Good.
The Talmud is the basic teachings of Judaism. It's their oral tradition that was handed down from generation to generation and ultimately written down to preserve it for posterity. Jesus frequently alluded to the traditions of the elders, which ultimately became known as the Talmud. And the basic Talmud doctrine is more than just the super race complex that the Germans have been accused of, but it's actually an only race concept. Isn't this kind of ironic?
Yeah, I think it is ironic that Jews criticize Germans so much for being so German-oriented when they themselves are probably even more so. I don't think you can find such hateful talk in any racist publication, whether it be the Nation of Islam or the most extremist white group out there, whether it be the KKK or whatever. I don't think you can find anything as hateful as the Talmud in any of those groups or organizations, so to speak.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that. Now, going back to your video, you mentioned another hoax in there, and this has even been admitted by Jewish leaders now. We've all heard this talk about the lampshades made out of human skin. We've heard about the soap made out of Jewish fat.
On the soap matter, they've even had funerals and stuff.
Yeah.
Great soap, saying that, like, you know, this was, like, you know, a Jew or whatever. And then, if I'm not mistaken, they actually unearthed, like, some of the soap, and then they tested it in Israel.
Yeah, they genetically...
And they found out it was, you know, there was no human remains in the soap. It was all just, you know, leftover World War II propaganda.
Yeah, they genetically tested the soap and found out that there were no human remains in it. So my question mark is if the Jewish leaders who admit these are all lies now, if they've lied about those aspects of the Holocaust, what else are they lying about?
Well, I think we know what else they're lying about. But one thing in particular I'd like to point out, you know, in these countries, except the United States and a handful of others, if you were to question, you know, the Jewish soap aspect, and some Jew said that you were, like, you know, trying to stir up anti-Jewish feelings, why, you could go to jail for that, even though you're telling the truth. Because as Ernst Zundel and David Irving and so forth have learned, the truth is no defense. And it's a shame, it really is. But, you know, they can't argue with facts, so they have to resort to these militant-like laws, these
totalitarian.
Totalitarian. That's what I meant to say. Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
Listen, the former president of the World Zionist Organization has said that Zionists owe unqualified loyalty to the Zionist state, and in the case of conflict, the first loyalty of a Zionist must be to the Zionist state. Now, according to Jewish law, a Jew owes allegiance and loyalty to the country of which he is a citizen. But in the case of the Jewish people today, who possess dual citizenship, like America and Israel, what are we seeing with their loyalty? Where does their loyalty lie from our experience?
I think we can recognize where it is in the present war that we face today over in Iraq, because I don't really feel that this served America's interests at all. I think it was mostly for Israel's interest. When you look at the whole scenario surrounding it and that PNAC document or whatever, and all the information collected about this, overwhelmingly, it's a war for Israel and no other. Israel hated Iraq. They were angry about that first little incident where Saddam lobbed his bomb over there, which I don't think actually killed anybody. Those Jews did die from suffocating their gas mask.
Uh-huh.
There wasn't any gas involved in the situation. But, you know, there was a lot of anger and resentment there. They felt that if he gained power or something, that he could have proved to be an adversary that they didn't want to face. He was openly, you know, against Israel's atrocities towards the Palestinians. They felt that he had to be removed. Now, if Israel itself was to remove him from power, well, you know, that would maybe set the world against Israel. But being that America is doing it, and we're such a military power, at least viewed as such in the world scheme, it was, you know, sort of overlooked because, you know, obviously the major key other power structures in the world, like Russia or China, they're not going to go to war against America, at least not over something like that.
Right, right. And I agree 100% with your sentiments about this war being not in the best interest of America. Now, Mark,
we're not even getting free oil out of it.
Yeah. Gas has, like, doubled since it started. It's unbelievable. Now, I'm going to kind of combine two...
Years ago, I was paying under $1 a gallon for gas. When the war started, I think it was about $1.44, and now it's like about $3.
It's almost $3. Now, I'm going to put two questions kind of together here that I got from your video. There were two censuses taken, 1938 1938 by the American Jewish Committee that said there were 15,748,000 Jews living in the world. 1948, 10 years later, the American Jewish Committee did another census. There were 15,753,000 and some odd Jews alive in the world. So it actually increased. So everybody always says, well, you know, the Germans kept meticulous records and there's a documentation.
Very good record keepers.
Yeah, and they took, you know, there's documentation for everything. So let me ask you, Mark, point blank. Is there a master list with the names of the 6 million dead Jews in the Holocaust?
Well, that's, obviously there is not, but let me relate to you a little something I thought was kind of funny. It was a couple years, I think it was about 3 years ago, there was like some group in Israel that like started putting together this master list or whatever of Jews who had died, and they had, after 60 years after the war, I think they had under 1 million names.
Oh, really?
And I wrote them, I'm like, well, you know, when are you guys going to get the rest of the names? And they wrote back, well, we should have it next year, you know, we're just getting the records together now.
I bet you never heard back from them.
A year later I looked and, you know, it was still about the same. And a year later I looked and it was still about the same. And, you know, there's obviously no master list of 6 million names who have died over in Germany during wartime, because 6 million Jews did not die over
there
during wartime. It was under 1 million. I would probably say the number, according to the Red Cross documents, was about 270, 250, maybe even 300,000. I don't know, but I would say it was definitely under 500,000.
Yeah.
The fact that they have to lie about the matter is because they want attention drawn upon themselves. And even if it was true, even if every word they said was true, well, what about the 60 million non-Jews that died during war fighting?
Right.
Great point.
Like, we're supposed to ignore these, and the only people that are important are the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's like, every week we have, I think it's about, you know, actually about every 10 days, there's like a new movie made about the Holocaust. And it's really kind of sickening. It really is.
That, well, and it goes back to
these lies, this propaganda, in order to get their way, whether it be, you know, in Congress, they'll use it as an issue. Oh, what are you saying? Oh, gosh, you're an anti-Semite by, you know, not doing what we say. You just want to kill Jews. You know, they use this type of twisted logic in order to get their way, and it's really disgusting. It really is.
We see that history has established a pattern with the Jewish people, with the state of Israel. We saw it in Jesus' time. Jews, at the goading of the religious leadership, had the Romans do their killing for them when they killed Christ. In fact, the Talmud gives Christ 5 deaths. He gives Jesus 5 deaths, not just one. Israel was beating the war drum to get the United States to go after Iraq, which we did. Israel beats the war drum to get us to go after Iran. Aren't we just seeing a repetition of what happened during Jesus' time over and over again, where the Jews and Israel...
I would probably say to a certain extent, yeah, I think we really are. And one of the cliches that I've always liked is that, you know, history always repeats itself because we don't learn it from the first time. Even now, I mean, if you look at the people surrounding Bush in office, a great number of them, probably a few dozen, in fact, are Jews. You see... the menorah being raised on the White House lawn, and mm-hmm. where is the cross, you know?
Yeah,
really.
why do we need this blatant anti-Christianism? I mean, it's openly, and it's obvious, and it's, you can, I think if a Jew has, what do they call the rites of passage? I forget offhand. You know, when they turn like 13 or something.
The bar mitzvah.
Yeah, if they have a bar mitzvah, if I'm not mistaken, on the White House's website it says that the president will send them a card. Now, could you imagine the president sending a card to everybody that goes to confirmation class in church?
Yeah, it gets their first Holy Communion.
Every baptism? No, they won't do that.
Well, actually, you know, Mark,
the website, you know, that it will. That's one of the specific things that they will not send a card for. But somehow Jews are viewed as special. I don't know why. I mean, I don't think they're any more special than anyone else.
They actually have a law, Shabbat 116a, that says the Jews must destroy the books of the New Testament. of the Christian Bible. So, I mean, that's one of their laws. They have a law on how to urinate in a holy way. That Adam
I don't know about that. That sounds...
No, Shabbat 41A.
A lot of vicious anti-Christian stuff. And one of those is the law, I think, Tob Sheb Harad Goyim, which means the best among Gentiles deserves to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
And right, there are certain things, but there's also some propaganda out there against Jews as well that people exaggerate. I'm not necessarily saying that's the particular case in what you're saying, but I've never actually seen that myself. I don't know if you've ever seen that website, www.com-and-here.com.
No,
They actually list the English translation of one of the Babylonian Talmud.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to take a look at that in comparison to some of the quotes.
Okay.
Well, in your video, Mark, and again, it's called The Persecution of Revisionists. Why do some people try to censor, terrorize, and suppress revisionists? The Holocaust Unveiled. You bring up a woman named Ilya Ehrenberg. And in 1942, she was already bringing up the figure of 6 million dead in the Holocaust, yet most of the Jews hadn't even been sent yet to the internment camps. What was her whole story?
What was Ilya Ehrenberg's story?
Yeah.
I guess it kind of goes along with during World War One. I mean, Jews were saying in World War One that 6 million Jews were killed then in Germany. It even went to the extent of the governor of New York, and then before World War Two was over, Ilya Ehrenberg, he was a propagandist for the Soviet Union. He was saying basically the same thing then, and I think they just decided to go ahead and keep that leftover propaganda to kind of get their way with certain events, because you'll notice, like, as soon as World War II ended, there began a mass exodus of Jews to Israel, and there was a lot of popular resentment towards that because of the fact, it wasn't their land. It was the Palestinians' land.
Well, absolutely.
There were Jews that lived there prior to that, but, I mean, if you look as far back as think of the late 1800s, there was only a few thousand Jews. In fact, I've got a book from the 1800s that cites that fact, and I think I may have mentioned that in my video, Zionist War Crimes, if I'm not mistaken. But to any effect, so there was a lot of resentment towards Jews engaging their mass exodus to Palestine/Israel, and in order to combat that, then they sort of, like, well, 6 million Jews died because no one stopped them, and you guys just want to kill more Jews, blah, blah, blah. You know, they just use that propaganda that they created.
And they love the 6 million figure for some reason.
It's a shame that they have to engage in lies like that to get their ways, but otherwise, you know, there's going to be still a lot of resentment towards what they're doing even today.
Mm-hmm.
Mark, the 1905 Jewish Encyclopedia, in it was written that the Pharisees took over Judaism and removed all obnoxious verbiage concerning God, such as attributing to him intelligence and control over this world, and bestowing all the biblical powers attributed to God to lesser spirits and beings and angelic powers. Do you think that the teachings inherent in Judaism dethrone God and enthrone man?
Can you say that question again? I didn't quite understand.
Do you think that the teachings in the Talmud and in Judaism tend to dethrone God, make him less important, and enthrone man?
Basically anti-God, or they basically personify God as the Jewish people themselves, as if they're their own little gods unto themselves.
Right.
I'm sure there are probably Jews that would disagree with me on that matter, but that's the way I look at it, because, I mean, they feel that they're like, God's chosen race. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Mark, we're running short of time here, so I have one more question for you, but before we close out today, give everybody your website address one more time.
It's honestmediatoday.com.
All right, and that's honestmediatoday.com. We urge everybody to go there.
And realize, too, that we probably wouldn't be able to have this conversation in Austria,
many, many parts of the world. And that's why we're so pleased to have Mark on, because he's not afraid. He doesn't shy away from these questions. But just a couple days ago, I saw a report about a woman in Germany, an official. She was a German woman, and she referred to the Iranian president, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, as Hitler number two, the second Hitler. So where are we going with Iran and all this talk about him being the second Hitler? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are that they're trying to create the propaganda mindset right now for us to go to war with Iran as well. Obviously, a lot of Jews are bothered by the fact that he's vocally going and exposing their propaganda. Like not too long ago, there was that big issue in, was it the Netherlands or Denmark or somewhere over in Western Europe.
The spy scandal?
Where they published these anti-Islam cartoons. Well, let's go ahead and publish some, you know, about the Jews' Holocaust. You won't do that. And,
uh-huh.
And the guy that had the newspaper said, oh, yeah, I will. And then he got fired from his job. And
yeah.
Yeah, but the whole hypocrisy is that...
That pretty much proved his point, that it, you know, who are the people that are beyond criticism, you know?
Yeah, well, exactly. The Germans got the stigma of a Jewish Holocaust, yet the Jews are free from the same stigma when it comes to the Palestinians or when it comes to what's going on in Iraq or what is potentially going to happen in Iran at their instigation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you so much for coming on Wing TV today. I just can't tell you how much we think of your videos and the work you're doing there.
Well, I really appreciate you having me on there. I spoke to some other guy, I think it was Daryl Bradford Smith or something like that,
uh-huh.
a while back on the phone, and he was telling me, oh, no, I won't have you on your show. We can't touch the Holocaust. Oh, no. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, what is wrong with you?
Yeah, was he Daryl, though?
Yeah, what's wrong? He bows to the laws of the thought police.
Well, and he comes across as so big and high and mighty when he's hiding behind his microphone in France.
Yeah.
But when it comes to...
Is he in France, though? How
we don't know.
Do I don't know that he's in France.
We don't know either.
He may as well be like some guy that's trying to cause division among the alternative press in the way that he is, you know, saying these... You know, things.
The number I have for him, it was a Leon number, but it's not a working number.
What's going on in the world today?
Yeah. Well, we're going to come out with an article on Monday that's going to try to shed some light on this. But and you're right.
I really do.
Yeah. And with Daryl Bradford Smith, it's, you know, it's either put up or shut up. And you know, he comes across as one thing, but when it comes time to do the other thing and follow up on it, he's nowhere to be found.
Well, at the very least, he doesn't have the courage to have this kind of conversation.
Exactly.
No, I don't think he does.
Yeah. Well, Mark, thank you a million for coming on. Have a good weekend.
And
thanks
we hope you feel better, too.
Yeah, thanks for taking some time out. And everybody out there, thanks for tuning in. This is the taboo type of material. This is the line that almost nobody will cross. We just want you to know that we're glad we're in a place where we can still talk about and discuss this subject. Until Monday, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
Have a great weekend, everyone.